This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون ومن يتولى الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا فإن حزب الله هم الغالبون صدق الله العظيم. Somebody said it very aptly and beautifully in the Urdu language. زندگی کا المیہ یہ نہیں ہے کہ یہ بہت جلدی ختم ہو جاتی ہے بلکہ اصل المیہ یہ ہے کہ ہم بہت دیر سے جینا سیکھتے ہیں زندگی کا المیہ یہ نہیں ہے کہ یہ بہت جلدی ختم ہو جاتی ہے The tragedy of life is not that it is ending so swiftly but the real tragedy of life is We are learning to love very late. A long life is not necessarily a good life, but a good life is a long life. Insaan seekhne pe aaye, to dusro ki ghalatiyon se bhi seekhta hai. Aur na seekhna chahe, تو ہزار غلطیاں خود کر کے پھر بھی نہیں سیکھتا When a person wants to learn, then he will observe from the flaws and the follies and the mistakes of others. And when a person doesn't want to learn, then he will perpetrate and commit 1,000 offenses Yet he will not see the need to change. Was it not Allama Iqbal who said, Manzil se aage barkar manzil talash kar. Manzil se aage barkar manzil talash kar. Mil jai tujhko darya to samandar talash kar. Har shisha toot jata hai patthar ki chot se. Patthar hi toot jai wo shisha talash kar. ہر ایک چل رہا ہے آگ کی عداوت میں وہ پانی جو اس عداوت کو بجھا دے وہ پانی تلاش کر As a believer, don't stagnate. You get to the river, have a higher goal. Every glass will shatter when you hurl a stone towards it. But become that strong and resilient person that you can bounce back. Look around you, There is this flame of animosity, of hatred, of antagonism. Find the water that can extinguish this fire. And I believe that events of this nature is directed to quell and to extinguish that burning flame that unfortunately has caused havoc around the world. The topic we have today at mind and that has been assigned for me is how Muslims can coexist in a multicultural society. The most telling tale in this regard is the hadith of Bukhari, where Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who we know is the noblest of this ummah, due to the hostility in Makkah, he was compelled to leave his native land and to seek amnesty outside the borders of Makkah. So he leaves, the hadith is in Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates it, and he comes to the borders Barkul Ghamad. And when he gets there, one of the influential leaders of Makkah Mukarramah by the name of Ibn Daghina, he spots Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he says, إِلَىٰ أَيْنْ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَإِنَّ مِثْلَكَ لَا يَخْرُجُ وَلَا يُخْرَجُ. Listen to this very carefully, how the Muslims lived and coexisted with such respect and dignity. And I'm going to take the moment to hopefully explore some verses and also dispel some myth and misconceptions. So Ibn Daghina was a prominent person who was an influential person. He approaches Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, a man like you. So this is a Muslim leaving Makkah Mukarramah, and it's the non-Muslims that are protesting against his exit. Understand the manner and the life and the conduct with which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lived. He lived such an impeccable and such an impressive life that when he was leaving Makkah Mukarramah, the non-Muslims rallied and they said, no, you are an asset to our community. We cannot leave you, or we cannot allow you to leave us. The words of Bukhari, فَإِنَّ مِثْلَكَ لَا يَخْرُجُ وَلَا يُخْرَجُ. A person with your resources and a man of your caliber should not leave our shores, nor should he be expelled from our shores. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, well, you know what the reality is, Makkah is not conducive for me, and it's not comfortable for me here to practice my religion, etc. Hence, I'm leaving. Ibn Daghina negotiated with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and brought him back into Makkah. And then he said to the people, how can you differ and have difference of opinion with a man like this here? And then he praised Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Read the words of Bukhari with the very tribute and acknowledgement and compliments that Warqa bin Nawfal had praised, or Khadija radiallahu anha had praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he had received his first prophethood. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he said, Zammiluni, dathiruni, wrap me, cover me. And I don't know what's happening. And Khadija radiallahu anha then gave him the assurance, Kalla la yukhzika Allahu abada, Allah will never forsake you. And then she praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying, Innaka taksibul ma'doom, you are the one who fends, assists, and empowers the destitute. Wa tuqri dhaif, you are the hospitable one to the mihman and the visitor. Wa tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-haq, and when it comes to difficulty and adversity, you are the one that aid and assist people. Those praises which Khadija radiallahu anha had directed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were the very praises the non-Muslim leader Ibn Daghina in the hadith of Bukhari directs to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then of course he admonishes the people of Makkah that this man is an asset to our society. And of course the hadith continues. The hadith continues, and I don't want to go into too much detail. I want to keep focus on the importance of coexisting. Now often in the world today, when we look at certain verses at a cursory glance and we don't peruse through it with an in-depth eye, then certain verses, and often people who might have malicious agenda or who have limited or short sight, they will take a certain verse out of context and give off the notion that supposedly in Islam there is no room for bilateral or for coexistence or for tolerance towards other cultures. For example, there is a verse of the Quran, and we can cite many verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum la ya'lunakum khabala لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا من دونكم هزوا ولعبا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم والكفار أولياء لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين، ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاة. Oh, you who believe, do not make the disbeliever your intimate and your emotional ally and friend and associate. That's a clear verse of the Quran. But does that mean you cannot live, coexist, and be courteous and cordial with a non-Muslim? That's the furthest from the truth. Let me digress objectively. Islam, and listen to this very carefully, especially my youth out there, Islam discourages the keeping of a dog as a pet. It would be a gross misinterpretation to allege that Islam advocates cruelty to dogs. Understand what I'm saying here? Islam tells you don't keep a dog as a pet. Does that mean Islam is saying being cruel to a dog? No. No text can show you a story of an unchaste, immoral woman who gave water to a dog and she was forgiven other than Islam. I hope you're understanding my point. It's a bit academic, but I think it's important to understand, because today people are on the net cherry picking, selecting, taking things out of context. Yes, Islam says keep a dog. Oh, somebody said, I just have a flash of it. Naam aapko khud ke dam se kamana padta hai. Naam aapko khud ke dam se kamana padta hai. Aur badnaami log aapko kama kar dete hai. Naam aapko khud ke dam se kamana padta hai. Aur badnaami log aapko kama kar dete hai. Wo hi murda nahi jisme saans nahi. Wo bhi ek murda hai jisme insaniyat nahi. Naam aapko khud ke dam se kamana padta hai aur badnaami log aapko kama kar dete hai. Wo hi murda nahi jisme saans nahi. Wo bhi ek murda hai jisme insaniyat nahi. Mulk kuch is tarah se badalne laga ke log gaay bhais ko charane mein aar mehsoos karte hai aur kutte ko gumane mein fakhr mehsoos karte hai. Mulk kuch is tarah se badalne laga. Mulk kuch is tarah se badalne laga ke log gaay bhais ko charane, jo ki tamam anbiya ki sunnat rahi hai ke log gaay bhais ko charane mein aar mehsoos karte hai aur kutte ko gumane mein fakhr mehsoos karte hai. Jism mein shugab barhti ja rahi hai aur zuban mein mitas kam ho rahi hai. Naam aapko khud ke dam se kamana padta hai. You have to toil to secure your name. Badnaami log aapko kama kar dete hai. And to accuse you and to ridicule you and to ostracize you and to marginalize you and to implicate you, that people will just do continuously. Sorry? Absolutely. Without twitching an eye, without a frown on a forelock. Somebody said again, I'm just having, you know, it's an Urdu atmosphere. I love quoting Arabic and Urdu, but alhamdulillah, whatever comes in the moment, we let it go. Meri nekiyo ka zikr hua, meri nekiyo ka zikr hua, to kisi ne kuch nahi kaha. Ebo ki baat aayi, to goonge bhi bol par hai. Nekiyon ka tazkira hua to kisi ne kuch nahi kaha. Aibon ki baat aayi to goonge bhi bol par hai. When they were talking about my good, everyone was mute, was silent. Nobody said anything. And then came the topic of he's like this and she's like this, and then even the mute and the dumb, those would have speech impairment, suddenly they also had a tongue. That's the world in which we live. تو نام آپ کو خود کے دم سے کمانا پڑتا ہے, بدنامی لوگ آپ کو کما کر دیتے ہیں. People will just accuse you and implicate you. And of course, our example is our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah had blessed him with the greatest level of intelligence in Ash-Shifa bi Ahwal al-Mustafa. Qadi Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of the verdict of Wahab bin Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi, in which he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْطِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدْءِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ مِنْ بَيْنِ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. That the combined intellect of the entire world is like one dust particle, and the exclusive intellect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is like the deserts of the entire world. Dhimad was a medical doctor in Makkah Mukarrama. The narration is there. Al-Bidayah has recorded it and other great historians. Dhimad was a medical doctor, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because people had indoctrinated him that na'udhu billah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentally impaired. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, listen, I've heard so many things about you, and I believe you have mental instability. Wal-iyadhu billah, wal-iyadhu billah, wal-iyadhu billah. محبوب کو دیکھنا محبت کی شرط نہیں, کوئی بن دیکھے اویس قرنی بنا اور کوئی دیکھنے کے باوجود بھی ابو جہل رہا. محبوب کو دیکھنا محبت کی شرط نہیں, کوئی بن دیکھے ابو بکر بنا, کوئی بن دیکھے اویس قرنی بنا اور کوئی دیکھنے کے باوجود بھی ابو جہل رہا. To see your beloved is not a prerequisite for love. It's not a prerequisite for love, right? Uwais Qarni did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his love was unparalleled. And then you had the likes of Abu Jahl, who seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam daily, but he was deprived. Kehte hain kuch log mere rag mein nabi nabi, kehte hain kuch log mere rag mein nabi nabi, lekin padte hain namaz hafte mein kabhi kabhi. Kehte hain kuch log mere rag mein nabi nabi, کہتے ہیں کچھ لوگ میرے رگ میں نبی نبی, لیکن پڑھتے ہیں نماز ہفتے میں کبھی کبھی. نبی کا نام سنتے ہی جھوم جاتے ہیں, نبی کا حکم سنتے ہی گھوم جاتے ہیں. Okay, you know what, I better keep focused because I'm going to lose myself here. So I was saying to you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the perfect example. And I cited an example for you because people are taking things out of context. When we talk of a context of mahram in Islam, I just want to show you that Islam, we can coexist. Islam, we can coexist with people of all faiths. Sayyidina Umar seen a non-Muslim walking around, and then he was old, he was aged, he was weak. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ma ansafnak, as the Muslims, we have failed you. You are old, you are aged, you need to sit at home and I will be responsible for your monthly allowance. This was said to a dhimmi disbeliever who was living within the state of the Muslims. The amnesty, the protection that was given to him. Today, my sister, often the media throws out the word misogyny and it's sensationalized. And then what you've been made to tell, that it's a system driven by patriarchy and you are marginalized. What's the need for a mahram in your life? Well, the mahram in your life is a bodyguard that Allah has appointed for your protection. Islam speaks about authority, not superiority. Islam speaks about authority. As a father, I have authority over my child. I don't have superiority over my child. Superiority is driven by action. No man has superiority over a woman. No woman has superiority over a man. Yes, in the context of Islam, Allah has given a man a degree of authority, not superiority. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. The point why I'm saying this is because we just consume, and there's a plethora of information out there, and it just throws out onto the vulnerable mind, and then we just take this and we just digest it, and sometimes we then become disillusioned to our own faith. And that's what many a times people want to do, is just to inject the seed of doubt. So there's a verse in the Quran, it's academic now, it's in Arabic, I hope I can simplify myself, and I'm not pitching my talk above the comprehension of the audience, but I do know it's a very intellectual audience. But it is quite an intricate and delicate point on, tafsir. So Allah speaks about in Surah Al-Saba, that why has the Almighty given the devil the grace and the respite and, the time on earth? And of course, he's here, and he, the devil and the demon, he whispers and he indoctrinates to each person. So Allah says that the reason why the devil is here, and it is a place of test, of course, it is an examination. إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي شَكٍّ إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي شَكٍّ The reason why the devil is out and he's got certain tools, resources at his disposal through which he incites, provokes, misleads people is that Allah says, I want to see who believes in the truth and resists the devilish indoctrination against those who are in doubt. So those who, dissect the intricacies of the Quran and appreciate the different angles, they raise a question here. Generally, when you contrast two things, you contrast the opposites. You talk of morning and evening. You talk of hot and cold. So by the general principle of contrast, it's supposed to be إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ To see who believes against those who don't believe. But Allah didn't adopt that expression. Allah said, the devil is here. He's going to do his mischief on the earth. Allah wants to see. I mean, one youngster phoned me one day and he says, I think cannabis is permissible. So I asked him why. He said, because why does it grow? Ye ugta to hai. تو پھر جائز ہوگا اگر اللہ کو اس کی حرمت ہی مقصود ہے تو پھر اللہ نے اگایا کیوں اب آج کل نوجوانوں کے دماغ میں ایسی ہی چیزیں تو پکتی ہے سو کینبس یو نو واٹ اٹس فائن دا فیکٹ دیٹ اٹ گروز سو دیٹ مینس آئی سیڈ ٹو ہم دیٹ مینس ان این ایگزامینیشن اف دا ٹیچر گیوز یو اے ملٹی چوائس کوسچن اینڈ ہی سیز چوز دا آنسر دیٹ مینس آل دا آنسرز آر کریکٹ بھائی نہیں ہوتا ہے کہ بھائی چوز دا کریکٹ آنسر سو اف یو گیون فائیو چوائسز ڈز اٹ مین ایچ ون از کریکٹ اور ڈز چوز مین ون کریکٹ اینڈ دا ادرز آر انکریکٹ ہی سیز اوکے یو اسمارٹ آئی سے ویل ایگزیکٹلی اللہ ہیز پٹ دا رائٹ اینڈ دا رانگ اینڈ اللہ ہیز گیون اس دا انٹلیکٹ ٹو چوز انا جعلنا ما علی الارض زینۃ لها لنبلوهم ایہم احسن عملا So the scholars say, عَدَلَ عَنْهُ لِنُكْتَةٍ وَهِيَ الْإِذَانِ بِأَنَّ أَدْنَى مَرَاتِبِ الْكُفْرِ وَهُوَ الشَّكُّ مُهْلِكَةٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُوجَدْ مَعَهُ جُحُودٌ The reason why Allah had contrast doubt with belief is to indicate that doubt on the Quran is tantamount to denial. If anybody has just injected a doubt in your heart, that is lethal. یہ زہر ہے. That's poison. That's going to erode your entire body. So it's important. We have events like this where we connect with our youth, we dispel the myth, and we set the record correctly. So I was saying to you, and I want to develop on this here, and let's take that same analogy of the dog. Islam said to you, don't keep the dog as a pet. That doesn't mean we have nothing to offer to you when it comes to the rights of animals. We have two hadith. One that speaks of an immoral, unchaste woman giving water to a dog and being forgiven. And we also have another hadith, authentic, of a woman who was religious, but she was unkind to a cat, because of which, عُذِّبَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ She was punished. So Islam says to you, don't make the disbeliever your intimate friend. Don't make him your emotional ally. In fact, Islam tells you, you shouldn't be bonding on an intimate level with a non-practicing Muslim. You should surround yourself by people. The key word that I'm focusing on here is intimate and emotional. Intimate and emotional. Your confidant. Again, this is academics here in Arabic. Those who know Arabic will appreciate it. So the verse I recited, wow. Allah says, verily your friend, reflect, verily your friend is Allah, His messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the pious believers. So grammatically, from the Arabic grammar, there is a question mark here. And this is recorded in the tafsir. Allah speaks of three friends, but then Allah uses the expression of friend in a singular form and not in a plural. So there's apparent inconsistency in citing three friends, yet not bringing the plural expression of friends. I don't know if people know what I'm saying here. It's a verse of the Quran. So Allah says, innama. So inna in Arabic means definite. Ma comes for hasr. Hasr means absolute, exclusive. In terms of nahwa, it's kafa. It's academic, you know. Innama waliyukumullah. Here's the point. Verily your friend. The word wali in Arabic is singular. The plural is awliya. So Allah used the singular expression, but He spoke of three friends. Your friend is Allah, His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the pious believers. So the experts on the exegesis of the Quran, they raise a question here that the Quran, which is flawless, faultless, impeccable, how do we reconcile with the inconsistency of a singular word, as in wali, being merged with multiple friends? And of course, the Quran has no flaw in it. That's reality. So the scholars write, وَلَمْ يُجْمَعَ الْوَلِيُّ وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمَذْكُورُ جَمَاعَةً تَنْبِيهًا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْوِلَايَةَ لِلَّهِ أَصْلٌ وَلِغَيْرِهِ تَبْعٌ وَلَوْ قِيلَ إِنَّمَا أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الْكَلَامِ أَصْلٌ وَلَا تَبْعٌ. My word. I urge you and I implore you to study the Quran and to connect with it on a different level, because there's nothing that is more soothing, comforting, therapeutic and cathartic and healing to any emotion of yours than connecting with the Quran and understanding the Quran. The reason why Allah did not use the word friend in a plural form, though Allah cited multiple friends, is to impress upon you and I that your actual friend is only Allah. Innama waliyukumullah. Your actual friend, O believer, is Allah. Wa rasuluhu. And of course, His Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam is our friend due to his position that Allah has conferred upon him. And then the pious believers are our friends because they bring us close to the Almighty. So let's make progress in this regard. And I hope I have dispelled the myth that the verse in which there is categoric prohibition, that speaks about not on a personal, on an emotional, on an intimate level. But other than that, the ulama speak that in essence, coexisting with fellow non-Muslims in a multicultural society, we have four angles. We have mu'alat, we have mu'asat, we have mudarat, and we have mu'amalat. Time, okay? Yeah. बतला देना मैं जरा वक्त से غافل हो जाता हूं. The first is muwalat, and that is for Allah and His believers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, intimate. You connect with Allah, and I keep on saying to the youth in my talks, talk to Allah. Beta Allah se baatein karo, meri beti Allah se baatein karo, uska jo lutf hai wo kuch aur hai. Agar hum Allah se baatein nahi karenge to kisse baatein karenge? अपने अल्लाह से बातें करो मेरे प्यारों, अपने अल्लाह से बातें करो. टॉक टू अल्लाह, कनेक्ट. आमिर बिन अब्दुल्ला तमीमी, हु वाज द स्टूडेंट ऑफ अबू मूसा अशअरी, ही यूज्ड टू से, इलाही खलकतनी बि अमरिक وأقمتني في بلايا هذه الدنيا بمشيئتك، ثم قلت لي استمسك، ولكن كيف أستمسك إن لم تمسكني بلطفك يا قوي يا متين. Oh my Allah, you created me by your will. Then you put desires in me. Then you put temptation around me. And then you told me to behave. I'm only asking you, if you don't help me, how am I going to achieve this? Isko kehte hain munajat. Isko kehte hain apne Allah se baatein karna. Imam Shafi'i, the great jurist of Islam, said, fortunate is he, فَصِيحًا إِذَا مَا كَانَ فِي ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ وَفِي مَا سِوَاهُ فِي الْوَرَىٰ كَانَ أَعْجَمًا. That when he converses with Allah, his tongue just flows. And besides prayer, he's a man of few words. So if you meet him, oh, he's an introvert. Yeh zyada bolte nahi. Lekin jab dua ki nobat aati hai, to inki zaban rukti nahi. Aur jab auron se bolte hai, to mushkil se inki zaban chalti hai. Hamara mamla bilkul ulta hai. We can talk away with people for hours. How many people go for Hajj, and then the person is with you and he says, okay, what must I do in Mina? I say, you got to make dua. And then we get to Arafah and he said, what do I do in Arafah? I say, well, you got to make dua. And then he says, okay, we're going to Muzdalifah. What am I doing here? I say, you got to make dua. He said, well, I just did that. If you don't connect and talk to your Creator, then you'll be in the plains of Arafat and Muzdalifah as well. You'll be lost. You won't know how to talk and converse. But if you're a person who can talk to Allah while you're driving. It's the best time. Speak your heart out. And our youth need this. Our youth are depressed, they're dejected, they're suicidal, they're isolated. Talk to Allah. Spell your situation and your crisis out. So the first is muwalat. And muwalat we spoke about is that personal bond which is for Allah. Then the second is muwasat. Muwasat means common courtesy to every human. Alana fil baha'imi ajrun. O Nabi of Allah, will Allah reward us if we kind to animals? I'm taking it one step lower. Looking beyond the geographical or religious boundaries that are between us. Would we be rewarded if we are kind to animals? That's the authentic hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, fill any belly and paradise is yours. Fill any belly. Again, today we look in the world and of course we know the crisis in Morocco. We know the crisis in Libya. If you're following news last night, there was almost like tsunami-like effects here in Gordon Bay and certain parts of Cape and PE. These are things that are happening daily before us. Nange jism ko daapne ke liye koi kapra nahi deta. Aur jism ko nanga karne ke liye log apni daulatein luta dete hain. Nange jism ko daapne ke liye koi kapra nahi deta. Aur jism ko nanga karne ke liye log apni daulatein luta dete hain. What an irony of the world in which we live. Nobody wants to clad the one who has no cloth. And people will spend thousands of rands and dollars to undress themselves. Aqal mando ki kami nahi hai dunya mein, dard mando ki kami hai. Aqal mando ki kami nahi hai, dard mando ki kami hai. There's no shortage of intellectual people. The shortage is of people with empathy and love. And that's the beauty of our deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most intellectual human. And he was the most empathic. He had the greatest level of empathy and sympathy. Condolences, commiseration, sharing in the pain of fellow humans. This is part of the rich teachings of our deen. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba had migrated from Mecca to Medina, then Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, she was there, and her mom Qutaylah. These are important facts of our Islamic history, which unfortunately our children don't know today. So Asma and Aisha radiallahu anha share the same father, but they don't share the same mother. And these are facts we need to know. We need to teach our children. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the father to Asma radiallahu anha. And of course, she then becomes the wife of Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu. And she then mothers Abdullah bin Zubair Urwa bin Zubair, and of course that famous dialogue between Asma and her son Urwa on the eve of the campaign, where she was 100 years of age. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the spouse of Zubair ibn al-Awam. Her mom was Qutaylah. I'm just making a reference here because the topic came up and I'm just sharing it with you briefly. But I throw out this message out to our youth. One is, if you know nothing, you're not familiar with any history, I can still understand, you know what, you're not abreast with anything. But on the reverse, you're up to speed with every other development in the world. And when it comes to the basic and the elementary and the rudimentary aspects of our deen and the seerah and the sahaba, you don't know anything. Rone ki baat hai. On the eve, when Urwa bin Zubair came to his mother Asma, and he said, oh my mom, I'm leaving this world, and I don't think I'll see the sunset. And I'm just going to share with you some of my feat and accomplishments. And I'm only sharing it with you so you can allow this to ring in your mind and you can take solace from this after my demise. And from this we learn the etiquette of comforting someone is to share the good of the deceased. Jab aap kisi ke yahan jaate hain aur taziyat ka paigham lekar jaate hain to taziyat ka bhi ek tareeka hota hai. تازیت کی بھی ایک اسلوب اور انداز ہوتا ہے کہ بھئی اب بیچارے ان کے گھر میں ایک خلا ہے وہ کرسی خالی ہے اب وہ اممہ کی جگہ رہی نہیں اب آپ ان کو کیسے تسلی کے کلمات کہیں گے اسلام teaches us comfort the bereaved by enumerating the accolades of the deceased sometimes we say to people well I know what you're going through no that's insensitive You might have experienced that, but the dynamics of every person is different. Allah aapko himmat de. Allah aapke liye aasan kare. Baaki aapke marhoom bhai, main kaise bhool sakta hu? Hamara haj ka saathi hai. Yaar, humne ikattha itna kaam kiya. Mujhe wo din yaad hai. Speak about his good things. That is what will heal his heart. Oh my mom, I want to tell you, أن ابنك لم يتعمد إتيان منكر قط وما عمل بفاحشة قط ولم يغدر في أمان قط ولم يكن شيء عنده آثر من رضا الله عز وجل ولا أقول ذلك تزكية لنفسي وإنما قلته لأدخل العزاء على قلبك Oh my mom, I want to tell you which I've never told you in my whole life. In my entire existence, I never premeditated the disobedience of Allah once. Wow, that's a rich man. In English, they say he's a rich man whose children run into his arms even when his hands are empty. Aaj to beta kya samajhta? Baap ek ATM hai. He's a rich man whose children run. Imagine your child come and tell you before he dies, Mommy, I just want to tell you, in my whole life, I haven't missed fajr. Mommy, in my whole life, I've never watched porn. Mommy, in my whole life, I've never listened to music. Mommy, in my whole life, I've never used vulgar. Wow! Qurban jao tere upar, mere beta. Qurban jao. اسی اولاد کو جنم دینے کے لئے تو دنیا میں آئے ہیں Oh my mom, in my whole life I never premeditated the disobedience of Allah I've never committed a breach in a trust with a Muslim or a non-Muslim Huzaifa رضی اللہ عنہ and his father Yaman I live in Makkah Mukarramah and then they come into Medina it's coinciding with the campaign of Badr Badr has the greatest virtue. If you know, those that are familiar with Islamic history, those who participated, the veterans, the participants of Badr, what was their virtue mentioned? لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اَعْمَلُوا مَا شَئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ Your participation in Badr, Allah has forgiven you. I'm going to start wrapping up now. I have also other engagements and like I've, you know, the MC has mentioned, I've just flown in and I'm leaving again. May Allah bless you all. So as he's leaving, Huzaifa and his father Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, they leave in Makkah. They apprehended by Abu Jahl and people. It's at the time when hostility is at its peak. So they say, no, we're not going to let you go. Because if we release you here in Makkah, you'll go to Medina, you'll go join the Muslims, and then you'll become reinforcement against us. So we're not going to let you go. فَأَبَوْا أَن يُطْلِقُونَ That's the words of the narration. فَأَبَوْا أَن يُطْلِقُونَ. So we said to them, no, just leave us, please. We're just going to join the Muslims. We won't be part of any reinforcement. So they agreed and they released. And then they left and they came to Medina. When they came to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ is marching. Badr is 125 kilometers from Medina. The Messenger ﷺ, his companion, 17th of Ramadan, that's when it occurred, the historical campaign. And Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and his father Yaman, they meet the Prophet ﷺ outside and said, oh Prophet of Allah, can we join you? Yes, of course, we need people to join us. Our numbers are few. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, oh Prophet of Allah, but I just need to tell you something. When I was leaving Makkah, I was apprehended by Abu Jahl, the arch enemy. And he would not release me until I gave him my word that I will not join you. So to appease him, I said, I won't join you, but please, can I join you? Read the narration. The Prophet ﷺ said, Nafi bi'uhudihim. We honor our words, whether we make it to Abu Jahl or to anyone else. At a time when there was desperation for reinforcement, they needed every soul to add to that numbers. That's the time he said, Nafi bi'uhudihim. We are a nation that honors our words. And mashallah, I see so many medical doctors here, and may Allah bless them and reward them, because I believe that Allah has given every one of us an opportunity in the sphere and the environment and the period and the place where we operate to display the beauty of Islam. And here's the words of the Quran. Allah says, Awa man kana maytan. Okay, let me come back to that incident and then mention this and wrap it. So you have this person, and we digress because we were speaking about the historical perspective. This woman, Asma, whose mom is Qutayla. She's in Makkah, and her mom is a non-Muslim. And her mom comes to Medina. So Asma radiallahu anha is in Medina. Her mom comes with gifts to come and meet her daughter. There's a difference of faith. So Asma radiallahu anha asked the Prophet, O Prophet of Allah, my mom is here. What should I show to her? What manners, character, demeanor, etc. The Prophet said, be kind to your non-Muslim mom. Be respectful to your non-Muslim mom. Treat her with respect, honor, and dignity. And it was in the backdrop of that that this verse was revealed. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah does not forbid you to be kind, to be just, to be loving, to be caring. It's a verse of Surah Mumtahina in the 28th juz. To those from amongst people of other faith who have not expelled you on the grounds of religion and who do not have any animosity towards you, and tabarruhum, to be kind to them. I was doing a tour in Paris, and the brother who was arranging the sound of the tour is an amazing brother, a local person from there who had taken the Shahada many years ago. His name was Ali. And there was something quite hilarious about it as well. He said to me, you know what, Sheikh, you will never forget my surname. So I said, okay, hopefully I will not forget it. He said, no, my surname is Forget. Right? But, you know, with that nasalized Forget, I mean, I don't speak French. You know, aap kabhi nahi bhoolenge. Maine kaha, wah. He said, I took the Shahada. And I was hoping and wishing that my mom could see the beauty of Islam. Wallahi, Allah is listening. For 20 years, I prayed every day. And I only showed my mom the true beauty of Islam. Wahra, wahra. There's Arabic couplets about this. It's so amazing. Ibn Abi Dunya has spoken about it. Wahra was a woman who served her non-Muslim mom. And because of her servitude to her non-Muslim mom, Allah gave this woman, Wahra, who was a believer, paradise. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَدْخَلَتْهَا الْجَنَّةِ. Because that's the teachings of Islam. That's the teachings of Islam. And I keep on saying to the youth, I had an address with the youth 3 days ago, and I say this to the youth all the time. Today the youth, I'm ending, I'm sorry. Today the youth are growing up with a mindset. What's the mindset? At 10, I deserve. At 12, I'm entitled. At 15, I demand. At 18, I take legal action. Yeh inke mutalabat hai. Yeh inke mutalabat hai. Aaj ke naujawan ki jo nasal hai na, inki jo nafsiyat hai, inki jo psychology hai. At 10, yeh mera haq hai. At 12, I'm entitled. Main haqdar hoon. Aapne mujhe mahroom kiya. At 15, ab yeh mutalaba karta hai, israr karta hai. Throws a tantrum. At 18, he takes legal action. That's the mindset. So what's happening? With the information we feed in the youth today, we are incubating monsters. We mollycoddle them and we incubate monsters. Now turn the lenses around Islamically. At 10, you owe Allah your salah. At 12, you owe this to your mom. At 15, you owe this to your dad. At 18, you owe this to society. At 20, you owe this to the world. In an Islamic environment, you grow up understanding the obligations you owe to the world. And when you put on the other lenses, so it's a constant demand. And that's why today marriages are breaking up. I keep on saying it in all my talks. Why? Because the couples are entering a union with elevated expectations in an underperforming world. Bare-bare unche jazbe lekar mera khyal tha, mujhe yu tamanna thi, meri arzu thi. Are maro apni tamanna ko lekar. So I thought, I hoped, I planned, I was assuming, I was fantasizing. I leave you with this here. Islam has flourished throughout the eras and we've coexisted. Al-khamru lahum kal-khalli lana wal-khinziru lahum kashati lana. Read the narration. For the non-Muslims living within the Islamic rule, there's allowance for them in their religious freedom, in things which they would want to eat, in things that they would want to indulge in, and people would live with harmony, with respect and tolerance. Yes, Islam says the statement that your intimate, your personal, your ally, your emotional friend is Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the true believers. My last words of reflection, Allah says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. The one who did not have faith, we then endowed him with faith and he became a light. Islam is a light. What's the definition of light? الظَّاهِرُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَالْمُظْهِرُ لِغَيْرِهِ, which is bright by itself and it brightens the place wherever you go. And that's how Allah has referred to Islam. Wherever you go, your character, your demeanor, the way you greet, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you do things, it has a light. It has its own magnetic attraction. So Allah says, أَحْيَيْنَاهُ, I've revived him. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, I've given him a light. The words of the Quran, يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, he takes this divine light and he exhibits it. He displays it. Wherever he walks, he presents it. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless the organizers. And may you grow from strength to strength. And may Allah grant us the ability that we can go out there and we can dispel the myth and we can set the record correctly. And like I always say, become an ambassador of this deen. Is deen ki numaindagi karo. Is deen ka safir bano. Aur agar aap safir nahi ban sakte, to khuda ke waaste rukawat mat banwa.